Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. If you'd like to call in at any time, 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. Though American government is premised upon common law, the Torah, God's moral law, the Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Romans 13, the moral law of God. People get confused that this is the version of God's government the way that it acts today in culture, when in fact the opposite is true in so many different ways. Matter of fact, when we begin to define out the purpose of government, we can see what is happening here. They're to restrain men from violating God's moral law, while they're teaching men to violate God's moral law. They are to maintain the purpose of government within the confines found in the U.S. Constitution. They are to maintain, okay, not to create disorder, but that's what we see them doing today. This is why people think, well, America, you're the light of the world, and look what you're getting away with. No, the American people have whored themselves out in deceiving themselves into believing that they're actually God's kids when they act like the devils, right? Again, laid out concerning Scripture, and judge them by their fruit, Matthew 7:16, John 10:10, and John 8:44. The other purpose is to condemn the wicked, not to justify the wicked. Put that up against Proverbs 17:15. But you're seeing government today, what are they doing? And I'm talking about the corrupt within government that the American people are tolerating. What are they doing? Well, they're condemning the righteous. They're condemning the righteous is what they're doing, friends. And then they're justifying the wicked. Completely opposite of the purpose of government. I just seen a little boy, about 16 years old, 17 years old. He was high on crystal methane. And interestingly enough, he had beat his girlfriend's little boy, which wasn't his, to death over a 2.5-day period. And because he understood that soft judges produce hardened criminals, he thought within himself, and he said it on the phone to his mother, what are they going to do when I stand in court and cry? What are they going to do when they see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy cry over the fact that he was sorry that he killed that little boy? Well, guess what? They recorded it on the telephone, and it was conveyed to the judge as to what that criminal just did. Oh, and by the way, he's a man. After 13 years old, there's the bar mitzvah, friends. They turn into men. They become men at 13 years old. Not 25, the way that the American people want them to believe. That's what it's going to take before they become men or adults. Because this applies to women as well. Well, the judge caught wind of it. Guess what happened? He stands in front of the judge. The judge repeated back to that 16-year-old boy that just killed that little 3-year-old boy over a 2-day period. Beat him to death. Because he was high on meth. And he conveyed back to him exactly what he said. And then what he did at the end of conveying back to the 16-year-old boy as to the information he received from the 16-year-old man, I'm sorry, the 16-year-old man's conversation with his mother, he sentenced him to life. Guess what happened once he seen that the game was over? He was no longer able to play the system any longer. Real tears came down his eyes. All of a sudden, he turned around and apologized in sincerity for what he did to that family's little boy. But not until then. See, friends, you need to understand that we live in a system today and allowing and giving an allowance to those that supposedly represent us to be the judge during the executioner. But the fact of the matter is we're seeing the opposite of purpose, the opposite and purpose of government in America today. They're acting more like the devil in injustice than they are God's servants in bringing forth and magnifying the law against the crimes, as I just said. But folks, isn't it interesting? Over and over and over again, we take this to ourselves because we see soft judges that produce hardened criminals. I've seen another case where a boy got up, killed a whole family. The family was there. That remained an extensive version of their family. They went to court. They watched the sentencing. The man came in with a smile on his face that he killed that family. One of the women stood up and walked over to him, and she said to the man that was unrepentant for his crimes towards her family, she forgave him for his crimes. What's wrong with that? Well, everything's wrong with that. He wasn't sorry that he killed her family. So why would she offer forgiveness to a man that just got done walking into court with a smile on his face because he was happy as to what he just got done doing in killing her family? You know, it's also interesting to note, many times when you talk to these criminals that go into court with a smile on their face, they will say in court that if you let me out, I'll do it again. And again, and again. And isn't that the American version of people's understanding when it comes to God's moral law and grace? Oh, absolutely it is. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us in Psalm 50 that you altogether thought that he was such a one as yourself. The Bible says that the Lord will set the record straight because he is not like you. And then he goes on in Psalm 50 and says, consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Well, Bradley, that's the Old Testament. Well, what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How come we're not hearing the threatenings of scriptures anymore? Why is it that we see men, namely in the church, and those that call themselves spiritual overseers or teachers, or whatever else they want to call themselves, why is it that we see them looking for God's mercy to excuse their sin that they willfully committed? Why is that? Why are Americans, namely those that call themselves Christians, why are they looking for an excuse to cover their sin? And if that is the case, in your case, you've already taken on the grace of God that's used as an occasion for the flesh. Let me ask you the question. Is Christ a minister of sin, transgression, breaking God's moral law, 1 John 3:4? Paul said, God forbid. Absolutely, he is not. We're talking about the Son of God who shed his blood. It tells us in Revelation 1:5, what? Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we're a blood-bought people. And if you look to the natural, 1 Corinthians 2:14, it teaches us the same thing in so many different ways. When you go to Arlington Cemetery or a veteran memorial, we are a blood-bought people, and if we understand what they did in sacrificing themselves unto us to give us the freedoms in which we have to do the right thing, not the wrong thing, 2 Corinthians 3:17, I'll tell you what, we would act a whole lot different than what we do today. Let's get to that. They didn't know it, and they didn't do it because they were grateful. Sons of Liberty Radio.
Ready to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men? Well, start your engines with some high-octane truth-telling on the Sons of Liberty Morning Show. We'll bring you news and commentary from a Christian worldview using the Bible and the Constitution. Not to see who's on the right or on the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. Get on the inside track every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern on SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty are fighting the good fight of faith to make sure that freedom is preserved for our posterity for generations to come. Through our radio program, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and our media website, sonsoflibertymedia.com, we are reaching the masses both nationally and internationally with the message of the gospel and the truth of our biblical and constitutional heritage. At sonsoflibertyradio.com, you will find out how to book Bradley Dean to speak at an event near you, how you can support us in reaching America with this uncompromising message, and how to become a son or daughter of liberty, where you can financially support the work of the Sons of Liberty on a monthly basis and join with us in this fight to restore our nation. Check out sonsoflibertymedia.com as well, which has all the important news and information going on in the world today. There you will find the black and white truth without all the lies you'll see in the mainstream media. sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com, informative, easy to use, and a little fun too. Two sites that will change your life. Visit them today.
It's a jungle out there, disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? Yeah, it's a jungle out there, and you need Wisconsin Christian News, a Christian newspaper that is not just filled with poetry and recipes. We print the truth, and we're not afraid to do it. If you're sick of the nonsense, subscribe today. You need this. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, top left side of the page. Go to SOL Radio Live. Subscribe to our Rumble feed, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Subscribe to that page as well. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of the page. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of the page. If you want to call in, 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. Now, folks, if this is the first time listening to the SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, do remember that this is a radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Now, let's start this off, okay? The God of all dissension, Satan himself, said Martin Luther, the great reformer, stirreth up daily new sects. Now, put this in parallel as to what you see in America today. Satan, the God of all dissension, stirreth up daily new sects, and last of all, which of all others I should have never forced, or I should never have foreseen or suspected, said Martin Luther. He hath raised up a sect that such as teach that the Ten Commandments ought to be taken out of the church, and that men should not be terrified with the law, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ. Oh, my goodness. It's interesting when you go to Jamestown in Virginia, you know where the Mayflower sets out. Remember when they came over from England and they got on that Mayflower and they came over to America? And the first thing they did is they built themselves a fortress. And the first thing you see when you walk in the door, once you get off that ship, you can reenact the whole thing when you go there. The first thing you see is a church. You walk into the church. What do you see on the left? You see the moral law of God, Exodus 20. And then what do you see on the right side of the pulpit, friends? You see Acts 2:38. That's what you see. Law of grace. They understood it. Galatians 3:24. Let me give you one more. This is by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He said, I don't believe that any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. Of course. Because the way of the master teaches us just that. Lower the law and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain. For it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. I say you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most powerful weapon, when you have its set aside the law. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men to Christ. They will never accept grace until they tremble before a just and a holy law. Therefore, the law serves a most necessary purpose, and it must not be removed from its place, though it has since the 60s in this country. The law cuts into the core of evil. It reveals the seat of the malady and informs us that the leprosy lies deep within. That's found in Romans 3:20. They must be slain by the law before they can be made alive by the gospel. Oh, my goodness! Woo! You know, I talked to my my wife's grandma. She was 98 years young. She passed away probably 5 years ago now. Sharp as a whip. Could talk to her about anything from the time that she was born, which was right after the Titanic. I mean, she could tell me anything and everything I wanted to know during that time. What I wanted to ask her was the question, so what is it that you would hear when you'd go into church? She was a Christian woman. She said every Sabbath day, this is what she said, this is what Grandma said. She said all the way up until about 1962, she said every Sabbath day we would go to church and we would hear the law and the prophets. We would hear the law and the prophets. Oh, my goodness. And what have we been taught today? By the antinomianists, many of the American people have taken on what? A lawless version of who Christ is. And we see it. The love of many will wax cold because of the workers of lawlessness. And they have a false version on understanding of what grace is. Grace is the power to restrain us to overcome, by the way. Webster's 1828, do your own due diligence and you will find out exactly what I'm telling you is exactly true. Now, over the last couple days, we have been talking about willful sin. And how Scripture tells us that if we willfully or sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And then it talks about in Hebrews 10, of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Here, let me show you, going back to the way of the Master, and let me show you as to what Jesus did so you can understand perfectly as to how all of this works. It tells us in Matthew 5:29, listen carefully, this is grace. If your right eye offends thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But grace says, even if you offend. He said, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. You know, one of the things my friend Ray Comfort says is when he's speaking to people out on the streets, he says to them, well, would you sell me one of your eyeballs? And they would say, well, absolutely not, because they're priceless. Well, Jesus used the eyeball to show you the value of your soul. Which one do you prefer? Nobody in their right mind would sell you one of their eyes for $1 million or $20 million or $50 million. Nobody in their right mind would do that because they understand the value of their sight. And Jesus was telling you that's how offensive sin is before him. You understand? Figuratively speaking, and I speak as a man, figuratively speaking, he is using the eye to show you the value of your soul. And he's showing you the offense of sin, and he's also showing you the importance of not committing the act of sin. I want you to see this. When you go to, and I love this because I studied this for years, and here it's starting to flourish, friends. And I'm talking about giving forth this message now. It's interesting how people will say, well, the devil made me do it. No. Hey, folks, if a bird flies over the top of your head, that's great. But you're not going to allow him to nest in your head, are you? No, that's what we're supposed to do with the thoughts that we have. We're supposed to take every thought captive and make him obedient unto the word of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God, that's why you feed on the word. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. But it's interesting because the actor cannot be apart from the actor. Don't ever forget that. Put that up against Deuteronomy 30:19. The actor cannot be a part of the actor. Folks, I love it when people say, well, then Bradley, you know, then where's the grace? Where's the grace? Where's the grace? I'll tell you that in just a moment. But it's interesting that people haven't thought out that it's not the sin that goes to hell. It's the person that made the choice to commit the act of sin that goes to hell in the sight of God. Read 1 Corinthians 6:9. You're going to have to write some of this down because I only have an hour. Everything that we do in this life is a choice because outside of that, friends, guess what it is? It is idolatry. It's total idolatry. When I go over to that of 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to go there right now, and I know I have it pulled up, but I want you to hear this for yourself. When you go to 1 Corinthians 10, okay? What you see in verse 13 is this. There hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. Don't blame the devil for the choices that you make. Here's idolatry. There hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. If you break outside of what he just got done saying, you're the one that is willfully sinning. When you go to James 1, verse 12 through 15, what does it say? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love them or love him. So those that love him are the ones that are enduring the temptation, and they are holding to the cross. They are denying themselves and taking up their cross because they understand that if they've been born again, John 3:3, that we are new creations created in Christ Jesus. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The verse says in 1:13 of James, let no man say that when he is tempted, and this is what we hear in the American church, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God doesn't tempt man, okay? But every man is tempted when the man is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Verse 15, James 1, it bringeth forth death. And we also find that over in Romans 6:23 as well. Okay, I want to get to this because I want to advance much further than where we're at right now, but I want to lay the word to the people that are truly hungry for the truth. Because Jesus said, if you're hungry and you thirst for righteousness, he promised that you would be fulfilled. Well, let's see if we can put those pieces in your heart, that engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that but the common person can? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Commerce Department is reporting retail sales. Consumer spending bounced back last month, rising 1%. Economists are watching these figures closely. The numbers, which are not adjusted for inflation, are a sign of consumer demand during red-hot inflation. President Biden Friday morning speaking from Bethlehem, West Bank.
We can harness that same momentum to reinvigorate the peace process between the Palestinian people and the Israelis. I recognize how hard all these challenges must be and will be to work through. Above all, there must be an end to the violence that has devastated too many families.
Europe's space agency's New Vega C rocket was launched from French Guiana this week. Of the seven satellites sent to orbit, one will test Einstein's general theory of relativity. USA Radio News. A new three-digit national suicide prevention and mental health hotline goes live Saturday. The emergency number is 988. Another lawsuit by Texas aimed at the Biden administration was written up on Thursday.
The state of Texas has filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration seeking to block its new mandate that hospitals provide abortions if the life of the mother is at risk, even in states with bans on the procedure that do not include exceptions.
We cannot allow an out-of-control Supreme Court working in conjunction with extremist elements of the Republican Party to take away freedoms and our personal autonomy.
The lawsuit from Texas is the latest legal battle to stem from the Supreme Court's decision last month to overturn Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that legalized abortion nationwide. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. I'm going to pick up from here. Moses lost the promised land because of one sin. He didn't sanctify the Lord God in front of the children of Israel. Okay, that's found in Numbers 20, verse 12. One sin sinks the boat, friends. Okay? Jesus said if you continue on in your sin, you're going to die in your sin. Okay? Well, Bradley, that's not what I was taught. Well, here, 1-866-582-9933. Show me in Scripture where it teaches otherwise. Okay? At least to the unrepentant. Because those that have repented, they don't sin because they don't want to offend, because they're thankful for being forgiven of much. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. Achan lost his life along with the entirety of his family's life for what? The sin of covetousness. That's found in Joshua 7. 24 through 26. The list goes on. Example after example after example after example. Look at Esau in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Check out how he failed the test when he sold his birthright and then he wanted it back. It didn't matter. It was too late. Folks, we have one shot here, and I want to remind you that Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, those that are ready for the judgment day are those that long to be freed from sin, not those that are looking for an excuse to cover up their sin. I mean, can you imagine being married to somebody like that? I mean, can you imagine me going out and cheating on my wife, committing adultery on my wife of 23 years? And every week I just say, I'm sorry, I did it again. I'm sorry, I did it again. Slap in the face to my wife. How long do you think my wife's going to take that? And yet the scripture tells us in James 4, know ye not that you, he was talking about adulterers. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Well, what's friendship with the world? The spirit of Antichrist. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the love of the world, which is found in 1 John 2. So to sin before God doesn't always mean just going out and committing the act, friends. It's the point that you keep doing it because you think that that grace that's used in occasion for the flesh is there to continuously cover you concerning your offenses before God. Well, consider this before thinking foolishly like that. His son Jesus Christ died on the cross. You better pay attention to real grace, folks. Because if you think that the Lord's just going to blink at your willful sin, you better think again, because it's not scriptural. Okay? When you look at John 3:16, what begs the question is, why would you want to sin? Folks, you go to Arlington Cemetery, which I've been there several times. We go up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's absolute silence throughout that cemetery. People are showing respect. You cannot talk by the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You cannot chew gum. And if you do and you're smacking your... I'm not kidding. If you chew gum where it's smacking, the guard of the Tomb of the Unknown will stop and he will reprove you and tell you to correct yourself. And if you don't, you're going to be removed. I remember when I was there one time where a kid walked on the grass accidentally. Okay, well, in part. And I'll tell you what, people were instantly offended. Okay? The people weren't going to put up with it. This is in the natural. And yet we're looking for an excuse as to offend the majesty on high, considering the price that he paid for our redemption, which is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. This is insane. We've got it backwards, folks. We've got it backwards. I want to show you where grace empowers. When you look at Romans 6:1, it says... What does it say? Should we sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Read the whole chapter of grace, real grace, in Romans 6, because it is second to none. Let me go to 1 John 2, and I want you to listen carefully, and I'm just going to kick these off. Now, line this up with what you see in America today. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Going all over the country, going up to the 3,000 mark concerning how many times we've spoken publicly, myself. It's interesting, I will ask people how many people are Christians in this room. Without fail, 85 to 90% of the hands go up in the room. I ask them the simple question, can you tell me three of God's Ten Commandments? 99% of the time, nobody raised their hands. But yet they call themselves Christians and they say that they're going to heaven. Well, Scripture is clear. He, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay? But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, and that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Where did Jesus sin? He didn't, John 8:46. He's the example. Man is not the example. That's why I'm bothered when people make reference to their pastors or their preachers when it comes to something that contradicts the word. Hey, folks, when you're right about something, don't take the wrong. Contend for the faith. Stand up for the Christ. Hold to his word. Hold forth the word of life. Point your finger back like the prophets do at behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John 1:29. Hey, folks, when you're holding to the word, you're not wrong. So don't hold to the wrong, hold to the right. Put your feet upon the rock of ages and stay there. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Did Jesus teach us to look to the grace of God as an excuse for our sins? Just the exact opposite. He said, straight and narrow and difficult is the way in Matthew 7. Straight and narrow and difficult is the way. Well, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, haven't we taught out in the streets? Haven't we healed the sick and raised the dead? And the Lord's going to look at him and he's going to say, what? What is he going to say to them? He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He's going to say, I never knew you. He never had a place in you. We better think this through, friends, in a big way. 1 John 3:4, we know, says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. Listen carefully to what follows right after that. In verse 5, 1 John 3:5, listen carefully. And you know that he was manifested, Jesus Christ, to what? To take away our sins. Not to find a false covering for our sins. Matthew 1:21 says that Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. Okay? Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him, in Christ, sinneth not. Oh, my goodness! The people that call themselves Christians in the church today, those that call themselves counselors in the church today, would be out of business like that if people would read the Word of God for themselves. Oh, and then what does it fall into? Oh, everybody goes to heaven. And yet Jesus said, few there be that find it. But according to the counselors in America today, hey, everybody's going to heaven. That's what the grace is for. Nope. You've got it backwards. That's not what it does. That's not the purpose of that grace. We're made more than conquerors who through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And faith comes into play here too. But if I have the faith of the Son of God, that's what overcomes the world because I have the grace in doing so. Hebrews 12:2. 1 John 5:4. Write them down, folks. I want you to listen carefully to the next verse. Whosoever abideth in him, in Christ, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Those scriptures right there will put counselors out of business. Right there. On the spot. You know why people keep coming back to counselors? Because those counselors are deceiving those people. Because those counselors are making gain off of them by withholding what the Word says. But it's not really the counselor's fault. It's the person's fault for not reading the Bible for themselves. In many cases, those people that need counseling, they at home have Bibles too. But there's enough dust on the top of their Bibles where they can etch in the Word in dust on top of their Bibles where it will proclaim damnation. That's right. That's right. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. It's the first thing he says. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Wow. And then he says in verse 8, he that committeth sin, ready for this, is of the devil. Of course. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I didn't see where it said in Scripture that we're to fraternize with them. I didn't see that we were supposed to play the diplomat with the enemy. No, Jesus, when he was on the cross and said, it is finished, he meant just that. The enemy is destroyed. Do you realize, as A.W. Tozer rightly said, the only thing that the church has to do now is to wait for the victory because it's already been given? Yeah. The reason people fail there is because they don't hold to their cross. They don't deny themselves. Okay? They don't understand that we've been crucified with Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its affections. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? Oh, I love this. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And then here comes the Christ once again, he who brought in truth and grace, right? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy! Hey folks, do you realize that we're supposed to have dominion? Do you understand in Luke 10:19, the victory and all power and authority has been given unto us over the power of the enemy? But if the enemy can get into your mind that it's okay to do this every once in a while and this every once in a while and that every once in a while, what you don't realize is he's robbing you through deception. But if you would study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you're going to find just the exact opposite, that it's not okay, and real grace teaches just the opposite. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. We're going to get back to the other side, and we're going to get to, they didn't do it because they were grateful.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Dan Pillow of TaxHelpOnline.com. You know, our Christian heritage is under attack from every direction. So it's never been more important for Christians to understand our heritage and the truth about American history. I can't think of a better place to get this important knowledge than from Bradley Dean. The Sons of Liberty radio show and sonsoflibertycom bring you the important lessons of history that the left is working to scrub out of existence.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Have you set aside a supply of food for the potential food shortages about to happen? If you could buy one superfood that would support your energy, immunity, tissue repair, healing, detoxification, and have anti-inflammatory effects, would you be interested? There is one product that confers all of these benefits, and it is called Green Meadow Whey. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold, sterilized, non-denatured, frequency-encoded whey protein powder on the market. When you add some flax oil to your whey protein drink, then Green Meadow Whey becomes a complete meal, addressing the amino acid and fatty acid requirements of the body. Each scoop of Green Meadow Whey supplies your body with 24 grams of an easy-to-digest protein. Green Meadow Whey's shelf life is indefinite when kept free of moisture. A 5-pound bag of Green Meadow Whey lasts 76 days at one scoop per day. For a convenient and powerfully nourishing storable food, consider Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's best, W-H-E-Y, protein.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Okay. Thanks, guys, down at GCN. I appreciate you guys. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. I got to move on here. I want to get to the point of this. Okay? They don't do it because they're thankful. That's why. But I got to lay some more scripture down so you understand real grace. Whosoever is born of God doth not violate God's moral law. Whoa! As a matter of fact, real grace through faith establishes the law. It doesn't tear it down. Romans 3:31. Matter of fact, if you want to argue that point, show me in Scripture. At no point. Even grace shows us in John 8 when the woman was caught in adultery. It's interesting, the first thing he did after showing her mercy, he looked at her and he said, go and sin no more. That's real grace, right? It aligns itself with Scripture throughout, friends. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Though he's tempted, he cries out against his sin, Romans 7, the very end of the chapter, right? In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now I want to make clear, there's willful sin, where you go headlong into it, and there's sin that was not purposed. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13, he said, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief, okay? King David said that he was born in iniquity. Okay? So sin is not all willful. There's a difference between doing it on purpose and slipping into something. And I'm not talking about grosser sins, friends. Isn't it interesting when you look at Scripture? How is it that we don't see younger people being called out for their sin? It's always the older. And yet Scripture tells us in 2 Peter 3:18 that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We grow up in Him. It seems like the adults have left off the grace in growing up in Him, and it's like they're undoing themselves. I mean, look today in society, you look at the older generation, they say the mature adults, they can watch pornography, they can go to strip joints, they can buy booze, they can now get dope in certain states. It's so upside down. And then we wonder why judgment is upside down, Isaiah 59. Because people haven't been diligent about Scripture and holding to the Word as the Puritans did. As the Puritans did. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. One more. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God... 1 John 5:18, of God sinneth not. Well, if you're crying out right now, saying to yourself, Bradley, I'm still captive to my sin. Well, put your face towards God and repent before Him for violating His law, Exodus 20, that He might drive you to the foot of the cross and allow the Holy Ghost to do for you what you say that you cannot do for yourself. You say, I need a new heart. I need a new mind. Yes, that's what He does. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let me say this because this is important. When you read Romans 8, 3 through 4, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus already did it for you. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hey folks, this is a walk of faith, okay? And when you read Titus 3:5, folks, let me say it this way. Once you repent, you by faith receive the fruits thereof as you keep your eyes on Christ. Let me give it to you this way. You've heard this as a young people. You probably heard this your whole life. You are what you eat. That's exactly right. If you feast your eyes on something, sooner or later, you're going to receive inspiration. As a matter of fact, if you go back to it more than once, twice, or three times, you're probably already being inspired by it. Like it or lump it, it's true. But if you feed on Christ, the bread of life, over and over and over again, guess what? You're going to be just like Him. Because He promised to do so. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I need to get to this because people need to understand that we don't have all the answers. I called up Ray Comfort yesterday morning, and I was going back and forth, and I said, I want to soundboard you on a couple things because I got some thoughts here. I said, the question of King David and Bathsheba came up, and the Bible is clear that it tells us that King David was a man after God's own heart. I said, I didn't see repentance in David's life until Psalm 51 verse 17 came about. And I said, Ray, I said, so come on now, I want your thoughts on this because I'm soundboarding someone that's 20 years older than me, and I want your wisdom if it's different than what I'm hearing right now by the Holy Ghost. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? And Romans 8:14 as well. Now, I'm saying that for the purpose, I said, what are your thoughts on this? I said, because I noticed in Psalm 51 verse 17, here, let me stop. Nathan the prophet comes in, gives King David a parable of the guilt of King David. Because King David thought through how he was going to get rid of Uriah. I mean, it almost makes you want to cry when you read the story. And we're talking about a man after God's own heart. He saw it through to make sure that Uriah was going to be killed, and he was. Nathan the prophet comes in, tells him the parable. King David stands up in self-righteousness and says, that man needs to be put down, killed. And Nathan looks at King David and said, you are the man. Then came about, Psalm 51, verse 17? Can anybody show me repentance in King David's life all the way up until Bathsheba? Because what I believe was the fact that he was not born again of the Holy Spirit up to that point. Ray started to kick out the same exact thought that I had. I said, was he born again at that point? Because David said, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. And Acts 5:32 tells us that there that the Holy Ghost is only given unto those that obey. And he said, well, when you're born again, John 3:3, he brought up the point that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Well, you look at King David's life after that. Did he make any more mistakes? Oh, I'm sure he made mistakes, but they were slips. They were not willful sins. And the only mistake that I can find after that that King David ever made was when he counted his soldiers, his armies. Just food for thought. I want to say this because this is what came up, was Romans 9:15. For the Lord is the creator of all. Sometimes we don't need to know everything. That's what makes him God. Scripture tells us, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's his decision, not ours. Does that undeify God in Scripture? Absolutely not. It's his decision. He hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. That's for him to decide as to whom he loves and to whom he hates. And whom he raises up for his power, regardless if they be good or rather they be evil. That's his choice. Now this is what I have to get to. When you look at the woman in the city, which was a sinner, she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the religious hypocrites, the Pharisees, which had hidden or bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet of Jesus, would have known who and what manner of woman that this was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that to he whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Hey, folks, the question that I have for everybody listening to me today is I'm giving you a parable right now of a true story of a woman that was delivered from her sin. She didn't do it anymore because she was grateful. To whom much is forgiven, loves much. And those that have been forgiven much aren't looking for excuses to willfully do it all over again and to crucify themselves afresh, the Son of God. Hebrews 6:6. And this is what I want to end with, because more than anything, this is the power, keeping our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith. 1 John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. Okay? And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship as one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And I can go on, and I can go on.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.